Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm coming on a little early. Pastor John here for our 10 at 10 for this week. I'm having to come on a little early because I got an appointment I've got to get to, and it's a little bit away. So I'm going to go ahead and just jump on here a few minutes early. Hope you guys are doing well. Man, the weather the last few days has been incredible. Good fishing weather. I'm sure it's good hunting weather, and just been really good. And I've heard a couple good testimonies I want to kind of share with you. And I'm going to be in Romans chapter 15, by the way. If you want to look and get your Bible open to Romans chapter 15, we'll start that in a second. I want to share a couple testimonies. Praying the different ones who shared these with me, you know, will be willing to come up and share publicly in church and stuff. But I'm going to go ahead and I got permission to kind of share them myself. So I had like three different financial testimonies that I've heard this week. And probably now that I just sit here and just thinking about it, it's probably maybe five that I've actually heard. And I know a lot of people are facing struggle and facing real issues with finances during this season, but don't be discouraged, man. God's at work, and instead of sitting back and just being like, "Oh no, why is this happening to me?" You know, we've got to seek the Lord and adjust to what He's doing in a season. And so there's some people, a handful of these testimonies go like this. I won't say who they are, but one of them is, and two of them include like tithing, and the Bible teaches tithing is. You know, bringing 10% of your income back to the Lord because it's His. It's not even yours. It's His. And so the Bible teaches that. And so some people are talking about things are getting really lean and things are getting very difficult. And there was some difficulty. And one family was looking for employment because they were out of employment and they were going to look for a job, and the job that they thought they wanted, they were believing God for this one job. It fell through. It didn't happen. And man, they were hurt. It was like a kick in the gut when it didn't happen the way they were believing and praying it was going to happen. And so they got discouraged. And then it came to write the next tithe check, and they were like, "Man, I don't know if we need to." Yeah, it was a struggle. It was a battle. And so they chose to not go with their emotions and not let disappointment or whatever lead them. And they just, in faith, they remembered who they were. They remembered the faithfulness of God. And they thought, "Man, right, you know, sink or swim. I'm going to go out in faith if I'm going out." And so they wrote the tithe check. And then there was another job that appeared, and they went and applied for this job. And the next job that they applied for, they got like quickly. And it was better, and I believe they said it was almost double the income of what the other job was. And so for them, it was a step of faith, and in their relationship with God, listening to what God was speaking to them, it was just a great testimony of trusting God in difficult times to be faithful, and trust Him. To go through the storm and through the trial without giving up. There's another family that was facing lots of debt and things, and they just made some decisions. They came and talked with me, and I helped them kind of walk some things through and have some wisdom. Okay, stop doing this, start doing this, you know, and it helped them readjust some things. And hey, why don't you? I just gave them some creative strategies and prayed and encouraged them to go seek the Lord about some supernatural creative strategies of what they could do. And they did, and they obeyed the Lord, and they did some things. And now they're at a point where their life has totally changed. They are on the, they have removed a majority of their debt, and they're about to be debt free completely. And it's just an amazing situation. There's another person that was talking about how the enemy was just lying to them about giving, and their emotions were lying to them about giving, and they just trusted the Lord, man, and they just kept giving, and they were faithful. And as they were faithful, and mainly with the tithe unto the Lord, as they were faithful, man, they just saw God break through in some things. And I love hearing those testimonies. Don't believe. Look, I know there's difficult circumstances. I'm not trying to minimize the difficult circumstances, but don't minimize God. Don't minimize the promises of God. Don't minimize what He's able to do. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord, our provider. And if we walk with Him, we may go through difficulty. We may go through struggle. We may go through seasons of suffering and struggle, but He brings us out the other side with increase. He always does. This is what He does. So have faith in the Lord and trust the Lord. We're going to start. I'm going to go ahead and put my 10 minutes on the clock. Romans chapter 15. We've been going through the book of Romans, started back a number of weeks ago in Romans 12. And if you've not read Romans, like the whole book of Romans is incredible. But if you've not read Romans 12 all the way through, man, it's just a great read that I believe is timely for right now. And before we read, I just want to share with you that during this time frame, Paul is writing, and the church is like divided. The New Testament church here has a major division between Jews and Gentiles. And most of you probably know what those are, but the Jews represent those in their physical bloodline. They are of Jewish or Hebrew descent. The Jews technically come from the tribe of Judah, but the Hebrew people, the physical sons and daughters of Abraham, the bloodline, they were born of that bloodline. The Jews are also called the circumcision or the circumcised, and it goes back to the covenant with Abraham. The Gentiles is everybody else. Gentiles means everybody who's a non-Jew, you know, anybody else that it, and so many times you'll see the word peoples. And it speaks to the nations, at which is all the nations other than the Jewish or the Israeli nation, the sons and daughters of Abraham. And so you got Jews and Gentiles, and there is big division between them. Now, it's not a specific apples to apples illustration here, but there's some things that we can pull from it as we look at some of the division, because the division sets in this prejudice, this perspective that gets overlaid over your eyes as you're looking at somebody else. So the believing Jews, meaning the Jews who believed in Jesus, had this veil or this lens, this filter over their mindset and over their eyes as they looked to the Gentiles, like, wait a minute, we don't think they're not like us. They really struggled with the promise of Christ and the promise of His salvation going to these Gentiles. And the Gentiles had a veil over their eyes about what they've heard about the Jewish people and stuff. So there's this big division, and Christ came to remove it. And just like in our day, we have it's not an apples to apples thing, but it's close. There's some truth to it. Of, you know, Democrats, Republicans, all these different political parties and different things that we get a lens over ourselves, and we had these labels, and all of a sudden we think it helps us to see, but it actually blinds us, because the thing that unites us is Christ, and what unites us is much greater than the things that possibly divide us. And so Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And Father, help us just here today. I speak peace over every person watching and everyone that's going to be seeing this. And I just pray that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see in Jesus' name. So in Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. So he starts off like, look, don't be selfish. Don't be in this just for you. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification or the building up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me. Now, this is a powerful scripture here because the word reproaches, it actually speaks to like a juvenile, immature, very ignorant kind of way of teasing somebody, taunting somebody, harassing somebody. It most of the time can be filled with sarcasm and anger when you mock somebody or when you attack somebody or you belittle somebody. It's like, you know, it's just like being immature, like in middle school when you're just trying to cut people down and you don't have anything good to say. And so you're just always sarcastically tearing people down and judging people and just saying dumb stuff. That's what the reproaches is about. That's what the word reproach means. And so what Jesus is saying is, listen, you guys, if you're getting some of these reproaches from these other people, from the Jews or from the Gentiles, if they're reproaching you because they don't understand you, he said, look, the reproaches that are aimed at you fell upon me. What he's saying is I took your reproach. So don't let those insults, don't let those attacks, don't let those immature things, don't let those posts, don't let that stuff get on you or get in you. It fell upon me. Send that stuff to where it needs to go, to the cross. I just love that. And verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort or perseverance and comfort of the scriptures, that we might have hope, that we might have hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be, now look at this, that you may be with one mind and one mouth and glorify God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. That we may therefore receive one another just as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. And now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. And he goes on talking about the Gentiles, that in the scriptures, he's going back to the Old Testament to show that God's purpose for the whole time was for the Jews to reach the Gentiles. But the Jewish, the lenses that the Jewish people were having looking at the Gentiles, like, why would we want to reach them? They think different from us. They're not like us. They don't act like us. They don't have the same political views as us. So why would we reach them? So Paul's going back saying, look, Christ is above all that. And what he's doing is his plan the whole time was to use you to reach them. So now don't let your prejudice get in the way of God using you to reach them. God's job and God's plan and God's heart is not complete just because he reached you. He reached you to reach them. And so what he's saying is, let us have one mind and one mouth that glorifies the Father so we can receive one another. So there are people that are different from you, that we could have arguments and some strong, passionate arguments with some disagreements, but you've got to be willing in Christ to have one mind and one mouth about the purpose of Christ. And that we have one Father, that we have the same Father in Christ. We have the same Heavenly Father in Christ. And so when I think about this, if we're going to end up receiving one another, being willing to be in relationship for the purpose of God. And I know that means we got to walk through some stuff. We got to deal with some stuff, but we always value the relationship first, because if a brother or sister, a believer in Christ, regardless of how many differing views they have from you, if they're in Christ and you're in Christ, you have the same daddy, your family. And so don't let the things that divide you to the point where you can't function as family. Have one mind, have one mouth to glorify the Lord. Okay, there's disagreements. So there's disagreements. We can work through that in time if we honor the relationship. If we honor the relationship, we can walk through the disagreements. And in the midst of the disagreements, let's look on what we do agree with. What can we agree with? Let's come at it from a whole different angle and say, hey, we have the same daddy. And our same daddy is to save all souls. He loves everybody. So how can we do that? How can we, let's come back to, instead of trying to find agreement in our disagreements, why don't we just step away, come back to what we do agree on, which is Christ, have one mouth, have one mind, meaning the thoughts in our minds and the words in our mouth are focusing on what we do agree with. And what we do agree with is that God has a purpose for our life, and he wants everyone to be saved, regardless of the nation, regardless of their labels, regardless of whatever. He wants everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And he saved me to save others. And I'm not going to allow the differences to limit my ability to disciple them. I'm going to let the Lord work out those differences. And so we need to come to one mind, one mouth, and one heart. And there's my timer. Praise the Lord. So I want to pray for you today, and just pray you have an amazing, awesome day. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you help us, you empower us, you strengthen us, God. And I thank you that you help us receive one another in spite of any differences we may face, God. We pray those differences do not divide, and that the labels and the things that we put upon one another or that are we see won't divide us, God, that we'll focus on that we have the same Father, that every believer in Jesus Christ has the same Father, and that we're family, and that you give us one mind and one mouth to glorify you and edify one another. And we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Y'all have an awesome week, and Sunday morning is going to be powerful. Miss Tina Griggs is going to be preaching Sunday morning. Love you, and be praying for you all this week.